Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Linda White. I'm so glad to see you all here this morning. We're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 28. If you're using the Bible in the pew in front of you, it's probably on page 857. So I'll give you a moment to find that if you'd like to follow along. Matthew 28. We're going to read the first 8 verses together. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who is crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying to redeem us and rising again to break the curse of death. Thank you for giving us hope. We just praise your glorious name. Amen.
Thanks, Linda. He is risen. He is risen indeed. That's a tradition that has been passed down from generation to generation. Maybe you didn't grow up in a church that had that tradition. I actually didn't. We just said, Happy Easter in my church. But whatever tradition you come from, whatever brought you here this morning, I'm so glad that you're here. It is a day worth celebrating, a day worth remembering. It's interesting, even within our increasingly secular culture, many folks still observe Easter in some way or fashion. In fact, I found out today, I didn't know this, but Target is closed today. That means it's significant, right? Or if you're a guy, Lowe's is closed, okay? In fact, you know, this last week, there was an animated film that came out called The King of Kings. Anybody see that yet? A handful of you have. And it was actually the number 2 grossing film in the country this year. And it is a retelling of the story of Jesus' life. And what I found fascinating about this animated film is the voices that were used for the different characters. Kind of an all-star cast. And folks that I thought, man, I don't think they're Christian. I don't think they even believe this story is real. And yet they were recruited to tell the story of Jesus. You know, in 1965, some of you were around then, I was not, but there was a movie that was released about the life of Jesus that, similarly to The King of Kings, was absolutely packed with movie stars from the era. That movie, does anybody remember it? It was titled The Greatest Story Ever Told. And it followed the biblical record of Jesus' life from his birth, death, resurrection, and ascension. There's something about this story that has continued to capture the imagination of the world. One of the greatest lines from that movie in 1965 is after the empty tomb is discovered, there's this scene where the officials that had put Jesus to death are gathered and they are talking about the tomb and how it was emptied. And they're deciding what to do. How should they respond? And one of the characters says this great line. He goes, "Well, in any case, the whole thing's going to be forgotten in about a week." Not true, is it? We're here today, 2,000 years later, because it has not been forgotten. Truly, the story of Jesus is the greatest story that's ever been told. And we're here because of that. Because the story of Jesus was a marker in human history. And so this morning, whether you are very familiar with the story of Jesus or only maybe bits and pieces of it that you hear once a year, this morning I want to focus on two emotions that were displayed in the story, especially from the text that Linda just read. And those two emotions are fear and joy. Fear and joy. Now, I've got four kids, and yesterday I was cutting two of my sons' hair, and I was thinking about the fact my oldest son is 18, that I've been cutting his hair for 18 years. And I was remembering how when he was really young, he was afraid to have his hair cut, having that buzz around his ears. And so I had to figure out a way as a father to keep him occupied, to keep his mind off of the fear that he had, and to think about something else. And so I started to tell him stories. Stories to change his perspective, to get him to think about something different. And I'm a storyteller. I love to tell stories. And it just turns out that my son has a really good imagination. And so he would get lost in the stories, forgetting that I was cutting his hair. Well, as my son got older, I began to tell other stories. Stories as he went to bed, stories as we drove, stories as we went and had little adventures together. And one particular story that I just kind of made up was a story about a character that would go on adventures to faraway planets. And this character's name was Rocket Man. And Rocket Man had a spaceship, and he would go and you'd travel, and my son loved these stories. Well, one day I thought, you know, I'm going to take it to another level. Rocket Man is going to make a phone call to Jude. And so one day from work, I arranged this with Jess. I said, hey, I'm going to call Jude, and I'm going to pretend to be Rocket Man. I'm going to put on a fake voice, and he'll do it. And so we did it, and I got home that day, and Jude ran up to me, super excited. He goes, Papa, you'll never believe it. Rocket Man called me on the phone. Well, I couldn't just leave it at that. So then his fourth birthday came around, and I had this idea. What if Rocket Man appeared at his birthday party? And so Jude had a bunch of friends over, and we're doing all the party stuff, and I snuck out the back door and put on an old Halloween costume that I'd bought really cheaply, and I snuck in through the front, or I knocked on the front door and used the same voice that I made the phone call with, and lo and behold, there was Rocket Man. Now, he was 4 years old. I was pretty sure glasses and a hat wasn't going to trick him. I mean, you know, like Clark Kent, right? He just puts the glasses on and off. But he had been so wrapped up in the story, he was all in. He had no idea it was me. I remember some months later, it was time to kind of end the story. And I said, hey, do you remember from your birthday when Rocket Man appeared? And he goes, oh my gosh, that was so cool. Yeah, that was amazing. And I said, did he look like anybody that you know? And he sat there and he thought, and then I pulled up a picture. This was the picture from his party. And he goes, and he looks at the picture, and he looks at me, and he goes, wait a second. It was you all the time. I love engaging the imagination of my kids when they were young. And sometimes there were stories in their heads that were the opposite of joy. There were stories of fear. Kids can be what? Afraid of the dark, afraid of heights. And this time, some kids are even afraid of bunnies. This one's my favorite. Fear is interesting, though, isn't it? Sometimes fear can be completely irrational. But sometimes fear can be very understandable. A lot of our fears, as we get older, we outgrow, but some of our fears, we don't. So, now you're wondering, what on earth does this have to do with Easter? Today is the story, is a reminder of the story, the unfolding story of God in human history, and how the resurrection of Jesus broke through fear and the fear of death. And it offers us joy. And so we can sing the songs that we just sang because of that. I love the old gospel song, Oh Happy Day. Oh Happy Day. Because of what it captures in the story of who Jesus is. But before we arrive to the joy of Jesus' resurrection, which was a life-changing, history-changing moment, we also see in the biblical story of Jesus' life, fear. we see before Jesus is taken to the cross that the motivation for killing him was based on fear. This man is a threat to us in our ways, to our power and our control. And fear motivated them to have him killed. After he was killed, we see in the biblical story, fear gripped the hearts of those who had followed him, his disciples. And when Jesus was taken and eventually killed, their question was, what now? Are we next? We thought we were aligning ourselves with a movement, with a person that was going to change everything. And so fear was present in their hearts. From Good Friday, you can imagine, the next day, we often called Silent Saturday, when they were sitting in the fear of the death of Jesus. And then as we just read, as Linda just read, fear is also one of the initial responses to the resurrection of Jesus. Matthew chapter 28, let's read that again. It says, after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord had come down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Fear gripped them in that moment. And then the women arrive. And the angel said to the woman, do not be what? Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who is crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So there it is again. The very first words to the women. Do not be afraid. When we think of fear, fear is both a powerful motivator and a paralyzing force. If you are diagnosed with some sort of health condition and the doctor says you need to change your lifestyle so that you can live, that fear of death often is enough for you to change lifelong habits. Fear can motivate you. Fear is used as motivation by our politicians and our leaders. Fear is paralyzing. Sometimes in the moment of fear, when we realize we are not in control, it causes us just to stop. And we see that. The guards were paralyzed, shook with fear. The women stopped in their tracks. Fear is powerful. But I don't really need to remind you of that, do I? If I were to ask you this morning, what are you afraid of? You might mention your health. Or you might mention childhood fears that still grip you today, like spiders, or for me, it's needles or heights. We're afraid of many things, if we're honest. But if I asked you another question, similar vein, what do you worry about? We're going to get a little deeper, aren't we? Past the superficial, we're going to get to deeper things in our heart. How about for your life? Do you find yourself today worried or anxious all the time? How much time do you spend thinking about your future or your own mortality? Fear is often this external reality, but it's also external. It's within us, and it can be paralyzing. It's also in the culture around us. Fear comes subtly through marketing, different products. Oh, if you don't buy this thing, then you're missing out. I heard an advertisement the other day, and it said, Are you tired of that six-year-old TV? And I went, 6 years old? We had the same TV as a kid my entire life. But it's subtle, isn't it? Pay attention to the things that are marketed to you. So much of that is based on fear. You need this or else you are going to miss out or you're not going to be complete or you're not going to be whole. Fear can be used to keep you locked in and coming back. This is what the news media does or social media does. Oh, I need to know about the next terrible thing that is happening. And obviously, we know fear is used heavily in politics. If you don't vote for me, or if you don't agree with my policies, then things will be terrible. So again, it's a powerful motivator, and for millions of us, it is central to our lives. And the fruit of fear is worry and anxiety and depression. All the way up until Easter morning, one of the prominent themes of the story of Jesus is fear. How people responded and why they were opposed to Jesus. But it is not the central theme. The story continues. It says, so the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. How does that work? How are you both afraid and filled with joy? We call that a roller coaster of emotions or conflicting emotions. There was a power being demonstrated that they had never experienced before. Somebody that has been dead is now alive? Could it be true? I think it might be. And so we begin to see this transition from fear to joy. This wasn't just a history-changing moment, but this was the history-changing moment. But what has changed? In this moment, as the women are running back to the rest of the disciples, the people who had still killed Jesus are alive. This just happened a couple days ago. Israel is still an occupied land by Rome. The circumstances of the world had not changed, yet there was joy. Yet Jesus is alive? What could this mean? There was no way that the women in that moment could know the full implications of Jesus' resurrection. No one had ever done this before. But now, all of the things that Jesus had said previously took on a new meaning. What did the angel say? He is risen just as he said he would. Wait a second. When did Jesus say this? I can imagine them going back through the teachings of Jesus, through the experiences they had following Jesus. Have you ever watched a movie that has a twist at the end of the movie that causes you to rethink all of the previous scenes in the movie? Oh, he was dead the whole time, if you watch The Sixth Sense, right? Oh, he was really the bad guy. Oh, and then you want to rewatch the movie, don't you? With this new lens. I can imagine for the followers of Jesus that his overcoming death, his resurrection, caused them to revisit everything they'd ever heard or thought. For God so loved the world, Jesus had said previously, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Imagine when they first heard this, they're like, what? What are you talking about? But then in light of the resurrection, they go, wait a second. He overcame death. He's inviting us to follow him. Does that mean we too can have eternal life? He backed up what he said. Later on, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Wait a second. When all other world religions say we have to do something to get to God, to get to heaven, Jesus is saying that it is through him that we do. It's something that he does and invites us into. Oh, now this makes more sense in light of the resurrection. The resurrection changed everything. And it's why we're here this morning. The resurrection was the most important sign of the divinity of Jesus. God in the flesh now demonstrated power over death itself. Writing to a church some years later, the Apostle Paul would speak to this power that Jesus has, saying this, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection is the most important event of our Christian faith. It confirms that Jesus is who he said he was. It confirms that God is real and he is continuing to work in human history. And it confirms his love for us, which means that you, this morning, are here for a reason. You're not an accident. You were designed by the God of heaven, and he loves you. And so these are the truths that we're reminded of on Easter, and they serve as our greatest weapon against the fears that we face in our life today. Afraid, but filled with joy. When something amazing happens that you've never experienced before, it makes sense that in that moment there's a roller coaster of emotions, of different feelings. When a woman gives birth, it involves both pain and joy. When an amazing gift is received, sometimes the initial response is, "I can't believe you're giving this to me," and then joy. When the women were told that Jesus had risen, just as he said, they felt this roller coaster, afraid yet filled with joy. Then the angel that had sent them before they got there said to go. And as they were going, Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, met them. Suddenly, in verse 9, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." As Lavelle read earlier, 500 or more people saw Jesus. So the women were going, they're afraid yet filled with joy. Yet when they met Jesus, the first thing he desires for them is that their fear would be removed. Do not be afraid. And this is true for us today as well. When we truly meet Jesus, this is what he does. He removes all fear. And so this morning, when you've placed your faith in Jesus, when you've encountered him, you don't have to worry anymore. Jesus is real. He has made a way through our deepest fears to eternal life. When you meet Jesus, you don't have to wonder anymore. Am I on purpose? What is the meaning of life? Is there something on the other side? Jesus has proven that there is. When you meet Jesus, you don't have to fear anymore. He wants to replace that with joy. The greatest story ever told, the one we're being reminded of today, still needs to be told. When Jesus rose on that Sunday, he set into motion a movement of storytellers. In fact, the reason Christians meet every Sunday is to keep telling that story. It actually, the resurrection of Jesus happening on a Sunday, reoriented their entire lives to the point where Sunday was a weekly reminder of the resurrection of Jesus. So in our gathering, not just today on Easter, but every Sunday, we are carrying on a tradition of those storytellers. Generation after generation, in cultures all across the globe, we meet to sing to God in thanksgiving, to be reminded who God is through his word, and to communicate with him in prayer. And so we are to be a movement of storytellers. And this is what we know. Jesus is still alive. After the resurrection, Jesus left this earth, but he said he would come back. And I can imagine we feel a little bit like the disciples of his day did when he said, I'm going to rise again. And they were like, really? They had to be reminded of it, just as the angel did for the women. Remember what he said. And today we live in kind of a similar period of waiting. Ours is a little bit more than 3 days. But Jesus said he would return, which means he is still alive. He is going to come back. And so we know this. We also know that it is only through Jesus that our deepest fears can be replaced with unshakable joy. When you place your faith in Jesus, your life now has a plot twist. Your sin, past and present, is erased. Your heart is made new, and all the words of Jesus are no longer just ancient sayings of a wise man, but they are life-giving words of truth for today. So Jesus is alive, and he is working in our hearts today for all who have placed their faith in him. And we know that Jesus will return one day. And so for all of us that have followed him today, there is a hope and a promise that we live by. Fear may still come, and it will attempt to come into your hearts and minds. But Jesus, just as he appeared with the women, is with us now. And Jesus has made a way through death to eternal life with him. I hope this morning, on this Easter gathering, that you don't just know this story, that it's not just like an animated thing that you watched in the movies, but that you live into this story, that your life is so oriented toward the truth of Jesus that you would experience the freedom that comes from following him. Freedom from fear, freedom from your own sin, that Jesus himself would meet you today. And that for those of us that have placed our faith in him, today is not just a ceremonial thing that we do, but is a powerful reminder of our weekly gatherings of the power of Jesus and his love for us. Amen? And so this morning, if you have not placed your faith in Jesus, I pray that you are at that part of your personal story of the plot twist. That today would be a marker for you. That Easter 2025 would be the moment you go, okay, I believe this Jesus. And that you are ready to start to follow him. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to pray for you as our worship team comes back up.